One of the most basic lessons of recent work in the philosophy of medicine is the need to take care with words. Beginning with the idea of health as the proper functioning of the body and its parts, an emerging consensus contrasts disease, a category of malfunction, with illness, which is the negative impact of disease on lived experience. Disease is biological. Illness is, at least in part, phenomenological, a matter of how life feels. It is, as philosophers say, contingent, whether or not disease makes life go worse. In general, how well you are able to live when your body malfunctions depends on the effects, which are mediated everywhere by luck and social circumstance. If you have free access to medication, a serious disease like type 1 diabetes may not involve much illness. If you have no health care, a minor infection or dysentery may kill you. The result is that illness is distributed even more inequitably than disease, following lines of wealth, race, and nationality. Matters are more subtle still with disability, both long-term and the incremental disabilities of aging. In the last few decades, disability theorists have argued for a social understanding of what it means to be physically disabled. Thus, in Extraordinary Bodies, the critic Rosemary Garland Thompson aimed to move disability away from the realm of medicine into that of political minorities. It was the work of these minorities that led to the passing of the Americans with Disabilities Act in the US and the Disability Discrimination Act in the UK. Disability is the focus of a struggle for civil rights. It has taken time for these ideas to migrate into my corner of philosophy, but a recent book by the philosopher Elizabeth Barnes agrees. To be physically disabled is not to have a defective body, but simply to have a minority body. Garland, Thompson, and Barnes do not line up on everything. They differ on the nature or metaphysics of disability. But it is common ground between them, as among many disability theorists and activists, that when you abstract from prejudice and poor accommodations, physical disability does not generally make life worse. Like being gay in a homophobic culture, being disabled may be to one's detriment, but that's a social failing, not a natural inevitability. Physical disability is not, in itself, an obstacle to living well. It's a claim that provokes both puzzlement and resistance. Philosophers often treat the imposition of disability as a paradigm of injury or harm, and able-bodied people may view the prospect of being deaf or blind or unable to walk with dread. But while it's easy to misinterpret, there is truth in the activist's claim. Given adequate accommodations, physical disability need not prevent us from living lives that are, in general, no worse than the lives most people lead. If physical disability is a category of overt bodily malfunction, it's not akin to illness, but disease. Bodily malfunction is biological. Its effects on lived experience are contingent, subject to circumstance. That means there is a sense in which physical disability cannot be bad for you in itself. If it makes life worse, that's because it affects how you actually live. A wider moral is drawn in the Taoist parable of the farmer's luck, which I learned from John J. Muth's radiant picture book, Zen Shorts. When the farmer's horse runs away, his neighbors sympathize. Such bad luck. Maybe, the farmer replies. His horse returns with two more. Such good luck. Maybe, the farmer replies. The farmer's son tries to ride one of the untamed horses and breaks his leg. Such bad luck. Maybe, the farmer replies. With his broken leg, the son cannot be drafted to fight in a war. Such good luck. Maybe, the farmer replies.